I'd like now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Margie Willen and Irene Webb. They are with the Alternatives to Violence Project. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. We're so pleased to be here.
It's great to have you here. And I think we had you on a couple of years ago. And it's good to have you back because this is ongoing work. It's been, the Alternatives to Violence Project started in 1975 and has been going on since then. And you are teaching a workshop next week, Thursday the 14th of August, at the Santa Fe Community Foundation. What's it all about?
Well, it's not exactly a full-blown workshop. It's more of an informational event. People who are interested in Alternatives to Violence Project, just for their own information, they want to learn more about what we do. But also, more specifically, we are interested in having people come who might be interested in becoming volunteers with our program and working in the prisons here in New Mexico. We have two prisons in New Mexico, PNM here in Santa Fe, and also the New Mexico Women's Correctional Facility in Grants, where we do our workshops, and there is a growing demand for our workshops. We can barely, you know, keep them going because there is such a demand. So we find out, we started, 7 or 8 years ago, we offered a total of 6 workshops at the women's prison, and now we're doing a total of 20 workshops between the two prisons. So the demand is just huge. And
the prisoners are demanding the work.
It's grown because of, you know, because it's very important in Alternatives to Violence Project that no one is required to attend our workshops. It has to be strictly volunteer. And so you're exactly right. It's the demand on the part of the prisoners to come to our workshops because they benefit from it. They feel like their lives are improved. They're moving closer to their goals of reuniting with their community and improving their lives.
Yeah, and the work is done both in the pen, you know, the PNM here, just
the utility company and the prison have
the same name.
Isn't that funny?
Yes,
yeah, that's good.
So that's just down on the 14. And we've been going in there for about 4 years. And the workshops are fun. As we were saying earlier, the workshops are really actually, they're deep and fun. We get together in a kind of an experiential way where we go in and it's a long weekend. We'll go all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and we do one exercise after another that really help to build both the prisoners and, you know, the inmates and the facilitators, the people who come in from the outside, to build our sense of community, our self-esteem, our learning our tools for nonviolent behavior and attitudes and responses. And we do have fun because, you know, we just kind of are in there working and playing for hours and hours and hours, snacking. We always bring great snacks in. So the inmates love it. The warden and the people who run the prisons are happy we're there. They support it, and the guards even, you know, they get it. You know, they get it. We want to do one for the guards at some point soon.
Yeah, very much so.
One of my favorite parts of doing the workshops at both facilities is that we have now inmate facilitators. So in AVP, we do 3 workshops. We do a sequence of 3 workshops, a basic workshop, an advanced workshop, and then finally the third is training for facilitators. So now every time we go into the men's prison or the women's prison, we are working with inmates who have been trained as facilitators. And guess who the inmates really listen to when we do our workshops?
Other inmates?
Bingo. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, it's like our secret force, you know, and they love it because they're learning leadership skills and they're really getting closer and closer to the principles of nonviolence and how that's going to improve their lives and their children's lives too.
So what are the principles of nonviolence?
For starters, AVP believes very strongly that there is good in everyone. And that's the first thing that you need to do in order to approach someone who might be a person you're in conflict with, is to realize, hey, there's some good there too. We do a lot of exercises, for example, that are exercises about empathy. And, for example, one of the exercises that I really like is getting the inmates to, for example, start to put themselves in the shoes of that correctional officer who's been giving them grief, you know, the last few weeks. What's going on with that officer? Why is this officer acting like that? And so if you can start doing something as simple as that, maybe the other person isn't your enemy. Maybe that's one step forward to a nonviolent lifestyle.
And also, one of the main principles of AVP is the concept of transforming power. And what that is about is that everybody within them has the ability to change. Everybody has the ability to transform and find within them the nonviolent way to respond to things and to live. And, you know, this started in 1975 in prisons upstate New York where the Attica riots occurred.
Good heavens.
Oh, yeah. And so prisoners and Quakers actually got together and said, we got to do something about it. It's now spread around the world. Activities of AVP and the work of AVP is done in Rwanda and Burundi, again, between Hutus and Tutsis who have been killing each other. It's done in Kenya. Margie's been in Nepal to do it. So it's all over the world, and there's an actual process that you can go through, and so you come out really learning a lot and changing yourself by doing the work. And this community event we have is an opportunity for people to come, learn a little bit about it, and to, you know, get some skills right away if they want, in terms of nonviolent communication and
yes.
The kinds of skills that we all need to kind of really get along in this world.
Which you can take to the workplace, which you can take to your family, which
exactly.
you can take to parking lots.
Yes.
Absolute road rage.
St. Francis.
Oh, totally.
You know, it's so interesting to me. There's one exercise that we typically do in our basic workshop, and I can remember after we finished the exercise, because we typically, Irene says it's experiential, and that is so true. We throw out the instructions, the facilitators sit back, they let everybody work on the exercise, and then we do basically an analysis of it. And I'll never forget this one exercise. A woman in the prison, we finished the exercise, we were doing the debriefing, and there was this, like, she just, her eyes started sparkling, and she said, you know, I can do this at home with my kids when I get out. Yeah. She said, we'll be able to solve problems as a family mm-hmm. without having arguments and meltdowns and that kind of mm-hmm. thing. And that was beautiful.
What do some of the actual exercises look like? Like, what happens? Give us an example.
There's one that is very early on in the basic workshop where we ask people, what do we mean by the word violence? What do we mean by violence? And a lot of times people will think of a punch in the nose, they'll think of war, they'll think of, I don't know, all kinds of things. But when we start getting them to think in terms of, oh, gossip, oh, sarcasm, oh, revenge, oh, you know, and they go on and on and on, where it becomes, we have some of our inside, our inmate participants will say, poverty. Yeah, poverty is a form of violence, isn't it? And they lights go off all over the place.
Yeah, and we do this with that exercise. We do something called roots and fruits of violence, and then roots and fruits of nonviolence. And so we'll actually just draw a tree. It's, you know, we put up a big easel and we draw a tree and we start throwing all these words up. What are the fruits of violence? And then underneath we'll write, put out what the roots of violence are. And that's just kind of the beginning. We also sit down and we do a lot of small group work. We do something called concentric circles where we get together really pretty much knee to knee, eye to eye, and have a really good conversation with someone else and just listening. And so one person will answer a question, you know, what was the most exciting thing you've done this week, or what was the thing that you worried about so much as a child, or something like that. And then you talk for 2 minutes and the other person really listens, and then you switch sides and the other person does. So what you do is you get to know each other, you're building community, we have had numerous people say to us, no one has ever listened to me the way people have listened to me in this workshop.
I would think that's especially true of prisoners.
Exactly.
Absolutely. It's interesting that part of the prison culture that I've observed is that inmates are not encouraged in any way. They're discouraged from getting strong bonds with each other.
Really?
Absolutely. You know, and you think of all the places where people need to have a sense of support, you know, and then the opposite happens. One of the ways that we typically end our basic workshop too is, it's not exactly an exercise, we do role plays. Because throughout the workshop, we teach tools, shall we say, better communication tools, for example, conflict resolution tools. And then at the very end, we do role plays, and as a way of practicing. the tools and the skills, and those are hysterical.
They're fun. They are so much fun. I mean, it turns out so many people.
So you act like the warden?
Yeah, or you act like, I mean, the funny thing is like when the guys decide that it's an accident, you know, a fender bender. And so some of the guys are like low riding along in front of them, and the other guys come up with their chairs and bang into them, you know, and then the next thing they're getting out, and they're all ready to have some huge fight. But then they remember transforming power. They go, oh, we got to try the other way. So then the next thing you know, they're talking about it.
Right.
You know, they end up going, hey, high five. And it's hysterical. We just laugh and laugh. But we laugh because, I mean, it can happen. You know, we see the choices. We see the choices.
And another thing, self-esteem. For a long time when I was doing primarily workshops at the women's prison, I realized that self-esteem was a huge issue among the inmates. And then last year, during a workshop at the men's prison, we were having a conversation with some of the inside facilitators, the inmate facilitators, and I said, "So tell me," I said, "is self-esteem a problem among male inmates?" And they didn't miss a beat. They said, "Absolutely." And so we've been always very attentive to make sure that self-esteem issues or opportunities to affirm oneself occur constantly throughout our workshops, whether it's at the men's prison, the women's prison. Yeah.
Well, people who want to do prison work, you know, they come into these prisons, and obviously people will come in for the first time, and it's something maybe they've yearned to do for a long time, but they've been afraid. They don't even know how to begin. When you come in with Alternatives to Violence, you come as a team, you come with all your tools that you've learned, and then you walk in, and then this kind of amazing thing happens, and you realize, oh, these people are just people. These inmates are just like me, and we end up having a real, you know, dialogues and a lot of respect for each other.
And there, but for the grace of dog, go I.
Well, exactly.
You
exactly.
said it exactly.
Exactly.
And I every time I leave a basic workshop where I'm meeting some inmates for the first time, I say to myself, you know what, if it weren't for this circumstance, I know I would become good friends with X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, let's say you have this workshop, and then you get out of prison, and then you get into a fender bender. And the other people in the fender bender haven't taken the workshop. Do the tools still work?
Well, these guys have talked to us about this because obviously everyone in the prison doesn't take the workshop. So our guys are in this workshop. Then they leave for the weekend, and then they're out in the general community. And they have told us repeatedly that they've blown people's minds inside by not giving the regular response.
Exactly.
And they also, because of the team quality of what we do, they see each other in the prison. And we even have kind of special signals and special adjective affirmation names. So they'll call each other, you know, in the prison. So they support each other in this.
Exactly.
So it can happen. I have used AVP in my own life.
Me too.
Believe me.
Okay, let's hear.
Well, I mean, starting with my ex-husband, you know, and then going
enough said.
With my sisters.
Let me tell you a great story. The first time I ever did an AVP workshop in a prison, I was a participant. And this was at the women's facility in Canyon City, Colorado. And I was teamed up in an exercise with another woman, an inmate. And we were supposed to share with each other a problem we were having with another individual, and then to come up with suggestions for each other of how to handle that problem. So here I'm sitting across from this woman in her prison garb, and she's, you know, about half my age. I tell her my problem, and then she thinks very, very carefully, and she looks at me in the eye, and she said, "Well, have you tried forgiveness?"
Oh, my goodness.
And I could feel something change inside me physiologically, and I suddenly realized, absolutely, because she was basically saying to me, it's about you. It's about you and the change that you can make with yourself. You can't change the other person. She was absolutely on target. And so that's when I said, wow, the power of AVP. And it was just a simple little exercise, but that has stuck with me, and it's a lesson I've always kept.
On a large enough scale, this kind of thing does lead to cultural change because, I mean, revenge is built into certain cultures that many of us come from. And, I mean, I have people in my family who have held grudges for 50 years over something that nobody can even remember what it was.
Yes, yes.
And you start to hammer away at that, and cultural change actually could happen.
Yes, yes.
Well, a number of people we encounter in prison have been in the system, incarcerated one way or another, since they were about 11 years old.
That's right.
So it starts really, really early.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people also, their parents are in gangs too. So there's an opportunity to learn and change and make choices.
Break the cycle of violence.
And break the cycle. And this is not, you know, just kind of a poster that we're talking about here. This is reality. It happens all the time. We have a guy who's out now in our community who's doing great, absolutely great, using his tools.
So the event, Alternatives to Violence, the community event is on Thursday, the 14th of August, that's a week from today, from 5:30 to 7 at the Santa Fe Community Foundation, which is right off of Paseo de Peralta. It's 501 Helena Street in Santa Fe, and we'll give you more information on who to call and stuff like that. But okay, so it's not strictly a workshop. It's like an event where you learn about the things that we're talking about. Let's say somebody says, "Oh, I'd like to do that." Then how do they get the real nuts and bolts training?
We're going to be having a community workshop coming up that people will be invited to attend. Once we get enough people, we have them in the community. If we, for some reason, don't have as many as we would like, we bring people in. We get special dispensation at the prison, and people can come in and do the workshops at the prison with the
as a participant.
Which is what you did.
Yeah.
That
Marty.
Second workshop that I did, exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you both very much for being with us, Margie Willen and Irene Webb of the Alternatives to Violence Project. And for more information, you can write to, well, you can call 690-3068. And there's an AVP website, which is avpusa.org, where people can go to get more information about Alternatives to Violence. But 690-3068 for more information. And thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.